Father's Day. Ephesians 6:4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That was day one. Then on day six, He created man. He created Adam and Eve. And Genesis 1:26 says that God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and fill the earth." Now it says that God blessed them and He commanded them to fill the earth. So when it says God blessed them, it means I think that He empowered man to reproduce or procreate. This ability to procreate is an incredible endowment by God on man. I stand amazed so many times that God allows even very ungodly people to retain this ability. He allows them to abuse this precious ability and does not stop them. I can hardly believe it sometimes. Today is Father's Day. And I want to tell you fathers here this morning of the incredible responsibility God places on you when you bring children into this world. You see, Genesis 1:27 says God created man in His own image. It does not matter if your child is a boy or a girl or any other thing. When they are conceived, they are in the image of God. There in that little child is a free moral agent. There is someone who will grow up and have their own will. There in that little child potentially is a devil or a godly person. And you fathers have the greatest responsibility to see that that child will grow up a godly person. When God gave you a child, He desired that you would train up this child to honor and glorify Him. But this child may potentially become a very wicked tool in the hand of the devil. There are no exceptions. And you fathers are given the responsibility to see to it that they are trained up for God's glory. And so the Apostle Paul, in closing the book of Ephesians, gives this terse command to fathers, and you, fathers, I hadn't noted before, it said, and you, fathers, it's stressed. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. I'm kind of glad we didn't have a special number this morning. Got a little more time. Pastor Bullig usually gets no. So I ask you, Dad, do you want your children to grow up for the purpose for which God endowed you with the ability to procreate? And I trust there are no exceptions here this morning. You say yes. And I want to tell you something else which you may find hard to believe, but it is this. If you are not actively working at turning the will of your child to God, then you may well be actively training up a child for the devil. These are hard words. Many years ago, I spoke to a man about the Lord, and he said he didn't believe in the Lord. But he said, I allow my children to make up their own mind. And then I say, you may very well be training up a child for the devil. So I said to this man, when your children were little, Was there a time when they loved to put on your shoes or your wife's shoes, and they were as proud as punch at how well those shoes fit, though they couldn't see how far they stuck out behind them? Oh, he laughed. He said, yeah, I remember that. And I asked him, who taught them to do that? And he got the picture. You got it on the back side of your bulletins this morning. Fathers, you have one incredible job on your hands. Sometimes I am amazed at how well some children turn out, though there seems to be very little teaching or training in the home. Sometimes I wonder, how did this happen? You know, I wouldn't give the credit to the home. I think maybe somebody was praying for them or something. However, that is the exception, not the rule. The rule is, if you do not actively work at training them up in the right way, you may very well be rearing a child for the enemy. And by the time they're teenagers, they may be full-blown into the work of the enemy. If that is so, you can deduce from that the devil does not want you to train your children. Amen? Is that a deduction that you can make from this? He does not want you to train them right because he may not get them. So we want to begin with Paul's negative instruction to these Ephesian fathers he was addressing. And we can say without hesitation that this instruction is equally applicable to us. So Paul's instructions to the fathers is first negative, do not. There is something fathers ought not to do. They are not to provoke their children to anger or wrath. Now, the word translated to provoke here is not in the original text. It reads like this: you fathers, do not anger your children. Don't anger your children. There are three words in the Greek New Testament that express the emotion of anger. These are thumos, orge, and paroxysmos. Much labor has gone into distinguishing of these three words. Bishop Trench says of the word thumos that it appears, and I quote, is more of the turbulent commotion, the boiling agitation of the feelings, and we're familiar with this. Thus, thumos, the boiling agitation of the feelings, may come quickly and subside quickly, but this is not the word used in our text. The second word is orge. According to Trench, thumos may develop into orge. This is bigger. Of this word, Trench says, and I quote, is more of an abiding and settled habit of mind with a purpose of revenge. My time's coming. I'm going to get you. So we have a progression here, but this is not the word used in our text either. Trench further says of this third word, paroxysmos, that it is the irritation, the exasperation, the embitterment which must be dismissed at once. Here is something you cannot play around with. You must get rid of this. The tense of the verb to anger in our passage is present. The way I see this text, it speaks of a lifestyle that in the end leaves a child with this mindset. They may look very nice, they may even be sitting in our church. But in here it says, you wait. You just wait. As soon as I can handle it, you will no longer tell me anything. You just wait. It's getting there. And then I'm going to show you who's in charge. From this text, I want to challenge you fathers. Consider how you talk to your children. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about words. Consider how you talk to your children. This holds equally true for mothers, but this morning we're speaking to fathers. May I challenge you, fathers, to take note for a week sometime to check to see how you talk to your children. I could ask my children, I said in Sunday school this morning, I don't know if it's true or not. They can tell me, I don't think they've ever heard anything close to a swear word from my mouth, have they? They can tell, you can ask them if you want. This is true. How do you talk to your children? How do you talk in front of your children? Check to see if most of your words and instructions to your children are negative and harsh. Check to see how many times they are gentle and encouraging. Oh, I don't believe in all positive parenting. You'll find it out pretty soon. But how we talk to our children is very important. During the course of training of our children, a verse my wife would often quote is this: a soft answer turns away wrath. How about that, Dad? Do you talk gently and encouragingly to your children? And I want to share something from our child training days. I want to share two things that I did over and over again. I do not want to put myself forward as an ideal parent who knows how to do things right. Many times as I grew older and learned more, I said, oh, how I wish I had known this sooner. As a matter of fact, if the Lord hadn't spoken to me quite clearly, I would not be giving you this message this morning. Now, I do not want to say I succeeded in this, but I always tried to be encouraging. When I saw positive things, I tried to encourage. I tried to understand. I don't know how often I succeeded. And a while ago, one of my daughters said she had been speaking to someone of what it was like when they were younger. And when they wanted permission to do something, and they were not sure if it would pass parental instruction, they have a preference, you know, who to check with. When they did get up the courage to ask, they would ask me. Now, you may not believe that either. That's okay, too. You check with my children. And my wife would sometimes say, oh, you old softy. I do not know how successful I was, but I tried whenever possible to be encouraging. And if you will look, there are encouraging things. When I saw something positive, I tried to remember and I tried to tell them. But there was another thing I did. And when I thought things were not the wisest or something was not the best choice, I sought to discourage these kinds of things. Encouragement and discouragement. And if I thought it was safe to let them learn by doing, I would do that so they would learn from experience that that wasn't the wisest thing to do. But when I felt for something, or a quest for something, permission for something, or quest for something, would be in any wise dangerous to them, I would say, no, you may not do that. I hope I'm telling you all the truth this morning. And sometimes I would say, you don't have to understand why. I see some parents, they try to explain everything to their children. They try to explain everything. There's some things you don't understand when you're younger. You just got to learn to obey. You know, say, no, you can't do that. I learned many things from our child training days. I learned I was not nearly as wise as I thought. I learned that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. I learned that I was a failure. I learned to repent for things to my children. I want to tell you parents something about repenting to your children when you do wrong. First, you do not lose their respect. Never do this to gain it either. Just do it when it's called for. Second, children are very quick to forgive. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And third, they will probably have forgotten in a very short time that it ever happened. Because they're content. They know it's safe. When you can apologize for what you do wrong, all is well. As far as they're concerned. That's what I see. But I want to warn you, fathers. If you will be mostly negative, if your children can hardly do anything right, if you mostly harp and nag, or even anger them, you may well live to regret what is too late to fix when it is too late. You will look on your son or daughter and find you don't know them. You will have lost and it will be too late. And too late is fairly young. Do not, whatever you do, provoke your children to wrath. You see, in our text, this is a command. This is not optional. In our text, I think it is not an occasional event. It is something that has grown into the child over years. They do not become in one time provoked to wrath. It's a life thing. It's how you live. And it brings that about. But our text is not only negative. Actually, two-thirds of these brief instructions are positive. Our text goes on to say this, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Go to Genesis chapter 18 for one moment. Genesis chapter 18. I want to read verses 17 through 19. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken. And I think it could be here, for I know that he will command his house after him. I know Abraham. He's going to become a great nation. I know this man because he will train his children the way they should be trained. I know this man. God puts a very high premium on fathers who command their children and their household after them in the way of the Lord. God puts a high premium on parents like this, like he did Abraham here. When you train up children that learn to do righteousness and justice, God is pleased. And so Paul says, fathers, do not anger your children, but train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now this text speaks first negatively, do not anger your children, then positively, but do train them up. The word to train is ekprepo, and it comes from a word meaning to rear, as in rearing children. It has the idea of nourishing. You can find it again in Ephesians 5:29, where it speaks of nourishing the body. When you feed your body, you take care of your body. You know, this is the idea here. So I would take it, this is here nourishing the spiritual part of man or the soul. Now the apostle will tell us how to do that. We are to train them up or nourish them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we want to give some time to that for dads this morning. Now the word translated nurture is paideia. Vine's dictionary says it denotes the training of a child. It comes from the word pais, meaning a child. And if you want to look this word up in Vine's dictionary, they refer you to a section on chastening. You want to look up this word? They refer you to a section on chastening. It tells you something about this word. So it has the idea of to discipline or correction or instruction. Now this is to be the nurture of the Lord, the discipline of the Lord. the spanking of the Lord, if you like. It's supposed to be godly. What kind of discipline does the Lord approve of? Well, let me encourage that you avoid discipline and anger first, right? Avoid disciplining. Let me tell you as well how to avoid discipline in anger. When you ask your children to do them, teach them that you are not expressing a wish. This is not a wish. You do this. I want you to do this. Teach them that you mean what you say. And if you do not expect them to obey until you have told them 10 times, then you will probably discipline in anger. Let me ask you, parents, how many times do you tell your children to do something before you mean it? Is it 10? They will try 11, and then you'll get angry. Is it 5, but your voice has reached several decibels too many? They know that's the decibel. That means I better do it. And sometimes they'll wait for one little bit more of a decibel. You get angry. Teach your children to obey the first time you tell them to do something. You know, there were many things we didn't know when our children were younger. But I want to tell you a little story here. I was talking to my brother-in-law. He was here in church this morning. He gave me permission to tell you this. His son, I think he ran in church in the hallway, and he told him not to do that. He didn't do it anymore there. He went to another one where he couldn't see him, did it there. You can tell me if I'm off on this story. And one of the elders of the church came to him and told him that when you tell your child to do something, you have to make sure he does it. And what he told me, he was wearing a red shirt, and he said, my face got like this shirt, and I was really upset. You know, family is a sacred thing. It's a sacred thing. You cannot easily enter somebody's family business. But you know what he said? The elder was right. We often don't see what is in our children as much as other people do, and we think we know them better than others do. And I hope you can take it this morning and listen. Now, you may say to me this morning, I am afraid to tell you this, but when our child gets angry, there's nothing we can do with it. Let me tell you something as kindly as I can. If that is so, you are a failure in your family. I want to say something else. It is possible that there are children with a handicap of some kind that isn't easily discernible, and that a wise parent that is willing to consider would have them checked out if it's a real problem. But the Bible says the rod of correction will drive rebellion far from young children, except there be some to that. You know, we all have gifts. If you say, you know, I have a child, you just don't know how this thing gets when our child gets like this. You just don't know what it's like. Could I give you some advice? Go to somebody that you respect, that you see they have their children in line. Say, look, this is my case. Could you help me with this? Do you know what that takes? Do you know what that takes? There's a word for it. What is it? Humility. You know what? We all have gifts. We all have shortcomings. Amen? And we all need somebody's help in something, right? Don't be afraid to ask for help. Do not be afraid to check your child with a doctor if you need to. Oh, pride sits so high in us as people. There are books available now you can read that will help you on almost anything. You can go on internet. I know you've got a screen out. I know that. But there is good information. There is information in courses for children now. They were not available when I was young, that I know of. Very good courses you can get. They will help you with this. Do not be too proud to do so. Now I'm talking to dads. Dads, the major portion of responsibility in this area falls to you, not mother. I wonder if there's an amen to that. According to the Bible. When your wife sends your child to you, you do your job. And maybe you say, when things get bad with my child, only my wife can handle him or her. Then, Dad, you got to get help. You are too proud to get help. You will pay for it down the road. You see, our text says about the discipline or nurture of the Lord that we are to do this. I want to read some Proverbs for you to help you see the importance of this. Proverbs 10:13 says, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. You know, it's interesting how much children can learn from the rod they can't learn from words. Now, I think what we have here is hands-on training, discipline. It is, as someone has said, applying the board of education to the seat of learning. Somebody else said it's interesting how close the connection between the seat and the heart is, you know. When the education goes to the seat of learning right, the message comes through loud and clear. And the brain can function and hear much more clearly. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son. Can you believe that? Some people say, I love my child so much I can't spank them. Of course, it's such a nice angel I have. I want to tell you something. Nobody has angels for children. Nobody. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. I know that sometimes it is important to sit down and explain some things, but I have seen some parents sit down with their little child and lovingly explain to them why they should not have done such or such when they should have just simply spanked the child. Discipline was in order, not talking. You know what happens in Israel when they talk when they should be doing something else, you know? It's no different. Spanking was in order. Sometimes one good whack is worth a thousand words. It is. You see, this is the discipline of the Lord. It is approved by His Word. Proverbs 23:13 says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. He won't. Verse 14 then says, you shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Wow, how incredible is this? Today we hear so much anti-spanking teaching that I think sometimes we are unaware of how unbiblical we have become. Look at the power of the rod when rightly applied. It will spare many a child from death and deliver many a child from hell. That is huge. Proverbs 26:3 says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. You see, a fool can become wise, but not usually from words. It takes a rod. Maybe we have some dads here who cannot handle their child. when that child throws a tantrum, nothing seems to help. Well, I would tell you something, or the Bible is not accurate. The rod will help. Now, I said, there are some cases where I think it is possible there are handicaps of certain kinds, and we should be wise to seek out those things, but this is the norm. I was told a story about two brothers. One of my Bible school teachers told me this. The one was getting old enough to try the tantrum, so he threw a tantrum. He threw himself on the floor, and he screamed and whacked his head on the floor time and again, and the dad said, "I see you need a little help," and so he helped him enough so it really hurt. I'm not sure that is the right way, but by and by, little brother was growing up, and he threw a tantrum, and he whacked his head on the floor, and the older brother looked at him and said, "It won't work." Have you noticed how children sometimes try their tricks when you're in the store or you have company? Oh, dads, takes wisdom. It takes a ton of wisdom. It's here. It's here. Listen to one more proverb. "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." The rod, rightly used rightly, can impart a lot of wisdom. It is hard to apply the rod, but it is harder when you don't apply it. Dads, since you have children, you have a job to do. Do it, or you may well live to regret. You have been God's instrument to bring children into this world, and now it is your responsibility to turn their hearts toward God. These children are free moral agents. There is an incredible capacity in each of them, either for good or for bad. My wife reminded me of a child in another town where we were, and their child was a terror. They took him to the doctor and found out that there was something wrong with him. They changed his diet, changed things, and this child was incredibly brilliant in other ways. You know, we were there, and they would have the child turn to the wall over there, and they would put their finger on any key on the piano, and it would tell them which key it is. Just really brilliant child. So there is an incredible capacity in each of them, either for good or for bad. Because of sin and the sin nature, they are bent on being bad. Children are bent on being bad. You did not bring an angel into this world. I can tell you, no matter what parent you are, you did not bring an angel into this world. Now, I have seen parents who think they brought angels into this world. One of the key agents to bend their will to the right is discipline, godly discipline. It is the rod that will help them overcome this sinful nature which they receive from you, Dad. Do not minimize the importance of this. I am not recommending the rod or the belt as discipline for every matter that displeases you. I hope you understand that. As a dad, you will need barrels full of wisdom. You will need to discern when to discipline and when not to discipline, or how to discipline or what to do. But there are times when you must spank. You must. So maybe by now you say, "Well, is discipline the only thing there is to training children?" Answer, no. I do expect, though, that it is the first language children understand. The rod is the first one they really understand. When they learn what not to do, you have come a very long way. But our text has yet one more piece of advice. Fathers are to train, well, it's a command actually, it's not advice, are to train up their children in the admonition of the Lord. Here is the second part of child training. The word translated admonition is nuthesia. The first part of this word is the word for nous, N-O-U-S. It comes from one of the several parts of the mind. See, now, 5-2, can I go a little over time? I'm going to go over time a little bit. I want to give you a little picture of man, as I see it from the Bible. Here is man. You can see the body, the outward part. But man has three parts. What are they again? Body, soul, and spirit. Inside, there are invisible parts, so I did some magic, and they are now visible. Oh, here is the spirit. We can't talk about that today. And here is the soul. This is as I see it. Now, the soul is tremendously complex. In the soul, there are a good number of things. There is what is called in the Bible, and many times called the heart. That's where we get the idea of love from the heart, but it's the bowels. It's the emotional part of man. Then there are the kidneys. The old King James calls it the reins sometimes. You can't talk about that either. But these are parts of the soul. Then there is in the soul the self. This is the president of the entire being. When we talk about the crucifixion of the self, like the self, this is it, what has to be crucified, that the real you. But there is the mind. And in the mind, there are a number of parts. There's the conscience, that's a co-knowledge, a with-knowledge. And then there is the memory. And the memory is what pulls things out of the storage part of the mind into the active thinking part and lets you think about it again. Some of us have a good one, some don't. I don't. And then there is the phreen, which is the thinking part. That it's the CPU of this computer. It's where the data is processed. It's what's happening right now. Some of you are processing, say, this guy is really out to lunch. Got her in a different box out here. Then there is in here the area called the nous. And that's after the information has been processed, it gets stored in there. That's the part we're talking about this morning. I believe when you spank, it makes this part much more effective to store in here. When you don't spank, you can't even get through here to store stuff. Now, spanking is directly applied to the body with pain. I've told you before, you don't spank till they cry, or till they really cry. You spank till you win. Till their will bends, not broken. And so spanking directly applies to how information is going to go into that nous. That's the part that is now under view in our text. By discipline, the data processor now becomes the vehicle for verbal training. As I see it, discipline makes you teachable. I think that is why Paul dealt with that first. By the way, discipline can be done all wrong and you can provoke your child to wrath. You discipline them just when you have company over so they get a good picture and so on. They know what you're doing. You're going to say, just wait. My time's coming. But discipline is only one part of the process. The second part is putting things into the processor by way of teaching so that it will be stored in the nous. This is nouthesia. This is our word. This teaching will give wisdom for life by words. You must teach your children by instruction. You see, in our text, we spoke of the discipline of the Lord, and here we have the admonition or teaching of the Lord. It is teaching our children godly things. This is not the Board of Education, the spanker. This is word. This is verbal. This is training by EOL. It could be otherwise by life as well. So I want to point out two ways first in which this teaching may be done. I should read for us. Oh, I went over time this morning. Deuteronomy 6. Let me recommend to you Deuteronomy 6. No, we've got to go there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. 6 through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your hearts, talking to fathers here, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. When you buy flowers for your wife, you are training your children. When you speak roughly to your wife, hey dads, you are training your children. When you get angry, you are teaching. When you use swear words or off-color words, you are teaching. The most powerful way to teach your children is by how you live your life. And I think one of the things that provokes children to wrath is when you teach one thing and do another. See, our dads, did you notice our text says, fathers, fathers, admonish or teach your children. Oh yes, mothers are to teach their children too. There's the text for that too in Titus. But the heavier spiritual training is to come from the dad. Not the church. Huh? There too. When it says, feed my sheep, feed my lamb, we're talking about church. Dad is to train his children in this. I want to point out two ways. I talked about that. We're to teach by our life, but there's another way to teach, and it is also very important. This is by setting aside times as you can fit into your schedule. I know with shifts, with some of your jobs, it's very hard to get into a time of teaching, but set aside some time and teach your children. Dads. Not mom. Mom, two, the other things, but dad, this is your job. Look at verses 20 through 25 in our text. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you, then you shall say to your son, now you're going to teach them by words, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, etc., etc. You can read this. But I want to tell you something, dads. The Bible stories, Daniel, Joseph, all these stories, is very good Bible education. Right? They're not just stories. It gives, you try to teach children that don't have this background, it's difficult. There's more than that, but that's very good teaching. So teach your children Bible stories. Consider later, or maybe even at their level, wherever you are, consider teaching your children the catechism, doctrine. Doctrine is very important. If you don't know how, start somewhere. Probably one of the biggest things is sometimes for dads is to start somewhere. How do I start? Start somewhere. Read a story and just talk about it a bit. Doesn't have to be a sermon, right? Talk about it a bit. You can grow in this. Anybody who is a dad can do this. This is Father's Day. This is instruction. Gear for the level of your children and help them. If they are quite young, you can't go very deep. You just teach the important things, and as you go, progress, and as they grow up, just bring it to a deeper level. So it is fathers, you teach your children. We have in church here a Sunday school ministry. It is not a substitute for dads teaching their children. It is a support to dads. I believe the church should teach, should help with this, and it is a support for dads to teach their children. It's not a substitute. And I want to tell you something from experience. As parents, you need all the help you can get with your children. You need all the help you can get. You can use the help of your aunts, your uncles, your the siblings, the grandparents, the church. You can use all the help you can get. Am I right? You need it all. So church Sunday school is not a substitute for this. Do your teaching. Let the church be a help to that. But the bulk of the responsibility falls to dad. So our text says, fathers, train up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we conclude this Father's Day message. First, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. I think this is an anger that comes as a result of a long time of wrong or no training. The end result is that is a child that says, just wait. You just wait. I won't always be treated like this. How many parents have driven their children to wrath? And what a tragedy when that happens. But Paul goes on to spell out how to train children up in the right way. They are to be trained up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is first to be in the discipline of the Lord. The Bible sets out what that is, especially in Proverbs. In the early years, the rod is very important language. Now, I am by no means an expert in this area, either in teaching or any other way, but I think the rod applied aright will almost have completed its work in the first 5 to 7 years. That's what I think. You do it right in the first 5 to 7, from then on you can do mostly verbal teaching. But that is only one part of godly training. The other is to teach by way of instruction, by putting information into their minds by life and by lip. And may the Lord God grant wisdom to the fathers here and encourage them to take up their responsibility according to the Word of God. So I'm going to call on the song leader for a close.